Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Kia ora, e te whānau, and welcome to Recuperate. Happy New Year, and welcome back for 2025. I am Katie, and Lucy's just come in.
I have, and hi. I did a big breath in, and then I thought, wait a minute, now I'll let it out, and I'm going to let it out as I speak. Hello, Katie.
Hello, Happy New Year.
Happy New Year, 25, I keep writing.
24?
Yes.
Oh, I'm actually quite good this year. I've been writing 25 every time, which is really unusual for me.
That is, well, weirdly, right, before Christmas, I was writing 25.
Yeah.
Like ahead of myself.
Oh,
And now I keep writing 24, going backwards.
That's weird.
I know, so weird, so weird. But so nice to be back.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Did you have a good break?
I did. What I mainly did was I sat in the tropical north.
The winterless north.
Winterless north, winterless thinking north. I was abroad and constantly checking the weather in Greytown so I could just
disastrous.
See it say 12 feels like 7.
Yeah, and like... some crazy millimeterage of water.
Oh, what was going on?
I don't know.
I mean, I can't imagine how hard that was for everyone. And you went down to Christchurch and it seemed like another level of awful.
Yeah, I tried to take a mini break to get away from the weather and we actually flew in the middle of the southerly rainstorm, which was quite an experience.
So cool.
And packed really poorly and no winter things.
You didn't take winter gear?
No, stupidly.
Far out, that's...
Yeah, so I had to pop into the hospice shop and buy myself a coat.
Oh my God, did you get a nice
they
one?
They go for hospice shops.
Yeah.
Yes.
Good.
Really amazing one. Christchurch is amazing.
It is.
For op shops.
I have heard this.
And shopping in general, maybe.
Oh my gosh.
And it's just a really interesting city.
I love
Because I haven't been there since pre-quake.
You're joking.
Yeah, so 2000 and... crikey, like 8 maybe was the last time I was there.
Wow.
Yeah, so we had a really good time and learnt a lot about the city's history.
Yeah.
Post-quake.
Don't you think it has a very optimistic feel?
It does. There's all these beautiful murals everywhere and like a beautiful, I don't know what building it was on, but there was this incredible neon sign which just said everything will be okay. And it was like probably... 20-foot high and all different neon colours. And we, every time we went past it, I was just like, oh, yeah, breathe out. Everything will be okay. And yeah, it does seem very, from all the crap they've been through, it does seem very chilled out.
Yeah.
But that's just from my brief. I'm sure it's got its problems.
Well, I think you're right. I think it does. I think there is something... you know, and I'm basing this on no other knowledge at all, but I think there is something about a place that has gone through a significant rupturous event.
Yeah, all rupturous.
And obviously there is the grief and the struggle, but there is also this kind of an opportunity to start again.
Yeah, like so much building going on.
Yeah.
And so many amazing food places.
Yes.
And markets and street food. Insane.
Yeah. And I think they've got the opportunity there to you know, reflect on what a modern city needs and feels and to create those spaces where people can just be and hang out and democratise the space.
It did make me reflect on Wellington and, like, Wellington's currently seems like maybe it's in a... touch of a decline because they're trying to hold on to buildings that maybe need to be let go. I'm not sure. It made me reflect that with nothing left, you start afresh and you can really start.
That's right.
You can really start in a way that makes everything seem vibrant and inclusive.
Yeah. And I think what Christchurch has managed to do is not to do a pastiche of the past, not to try and recreate what there was.
Yeah.
Which is so important. And, you know, there is a tendency for humans to want to do that, or we're just going to build it like it was.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm thinking here, obviously, what's going on in LA is absolutely incredible. And maybe it's too soon to even reflect on what kind of rebuild they
will do. The Bunny Museum burnt down.
Oh, what with rabbits in?
Well, they saved the rabbits, thank God. Oh, but there's this really famous museum in... the Palisades, part that got hit the worst.
Yeah.
It's called the Bunny Museum. It's been going for like 40 years, and everyone treasures it because it's kitsch as hell, but it's cool.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
And they saved the rabbits.
So yeah, so it was nice seeing stories like that rather than, oh, Paris Hilton lost her third house.
I've got to say, isn't it interesting? Yes.
God, that's awful.
You know,
me,
losing things is awful, but it is kind of,
And then I saw a really interesting article about that really houses shouldn't have been built there at all because it was a place for the indigenous people of America. And so there were a lot of tributaries and rivers that were dammed over and covered.
Yes.
And consequently, a lot of it's dried out and a lot of it's, interesting,
totally.
Eh?
So interesting.
Never heard that perspective before, so that was refreshing.
Well, I can recommend, so there's the podcast 99% Invisible, I think I've told you.
Yes.
Yeah. And then there's the mini-series. I think I might even have mentioned it on the show, but it'll bear.
It's always worth mentioning again, because I've got only good new podcast too.
Oh, have you? Also, if you're anything like me and you, you won't remember what we said last time. So, you know, it bears repeating. But so they did a mini-series, I think it was five episodes, called Just Not Built for This, looking at how America's infrastructure was never built with climate change in mind and often was built with nature as far from mind as possible.
Yeah.
And the consequences of that and how you come back from that. And so, you know, maybe in LA there will be opportunities to kind of say, well, let's not keep repeating the mistakes of the past, because wildfires are only going to become an increasing issue. But do we as a species have the guts, the balls and the bravery to do that? I don't know. We almost need like a moral dictatorship.
Or you need something that gets rid of everything so you're forced to start again.
Yeah, yeah. Gosh.
Yeah.
Gosh, we've tackled some big
issues. We're only 10 minutes in.
10 minutes in. And we have traversed some major philosophical topic areas.
Let's have some music and then we'll come back and chat about, well, there's a couple of things I wanted to chat about.
That's good.
And also to hear about your holiday in the winter's north.
Great.
I'm sure
can you tell
lovely.
Me the flavour of your playlist?
Oh, it's bitsy piecey, but a lot of New Zealand music this time around. So this is Toitū Tiriti, song that was made for Toitū Tiriti album.
Yeah.
To support the treaty, and it is Rhea Hall, Te Kuru Dews, Troy Kingi, who we love, and Kurawai.
Cool.
So let's have a little Missy Lissing, yeah.
Te tino. papa tini hanga.
Being introduced with a trumpet, though.
But I don't know. Lucy's
whenever
here.
I enter into a room, was cracking.
Cracking.
Loved it.
A nice summer day for a beautiful summer day vibes.
Yeah.
Now, our cameras may not be working at the moment, so I have to describe Lucy as golden of hair and large of earrings and
and luscious of
luscious
lips.
Of lips. She's put on. I know it's disappointing when you make yourself up and you can't be seen. But now you have to talk at length to
I do. Shall I tell you what's coming up in the paper?
Yes, do, please.
Okay, all right. So,
are you back on track? Are you back in normal operating hours?
Yes, I think so. So it's very quiet in the office. So people, because Emily Ireland, our local democracy reporter, is not back until at the end of January. I mean, these local democracy types just
And there's so much happening in democracy.
I know.
Which I will talk about in a moment.
But no, I got back on Wednesday, straight back into it. Tomorrow we have a big piece about Greytown, actually, from a reporter based in Wellington, asking the question, is Greytown too posh? Is it
really?
Posh? Yeah. I did a little bit of reporting on Olivia's behalf. She's the journalist who wrote the piece. And yesterday I popped in to the Workies and it was just glorious. I just had the best time. I had a lovely chat with a lady behind the bar and I said, you know, I asked my question and she was going, oh. She pointed across the road to the white church. She goes, well, over there's posh, but we're not posh. But what was interesting from the people I spoke to, it was definitely like Greytown isn't posh. It's posh in parts. There's definitely some money around, but there's something for everyone. And I was taking photographs for Olivia's piece and I looked at my hometown with fresh eyes.
Oh.
And I was thinking, far out, there's a lot here. We've got a kebab house.
Yeah.
You know, and we've got a curry restaurant, an Indian restaurant. We've got the library. We've got a book. Like, we've got it all.
We don't have a post office.
We don't have a post office. No. Well, we've got...
Or a bank.
But then
bank.
Where does? I mean, you know, we're not alone in that. But I did kind of have a new sense of... I mean, I love Greytown anyway, but I had a new sense of warmth and appreciation for...
Who put forward that story idea? Like, how do story ideas happen?
I don't know. A lot of the time, if anybody's process is a bit like mine, somebody will ask a question and I go, well, that's interesting.
Let's find that out. Okay.
I wonder if... I think Olivia's based in Wellington.
Okay.
I don't know whether... You know,
interesting. I'll have to get the paper then.
You do.
What's the conclusion?
Well,
No.
Okay. Posh in parts. People, that there is, as I say, genuinely something for everybody.
Yeah.
Which is kind of nice to hear. Yeah. And lots of lovely voices in there and some lovely photography.
Nice.
And I certainly enjoyed pitching in on that. Is that your stockbroker?
Yes.
Have you won Lotto?
No, he's saying sell. bye, sell. With my immense amount of money.
So, and a little story I've been working on for a while is about documents going missing in a legal process. Somebody's documents went missing, and really the story is about the stress that that can cause, and the breakdown in trust that that can result in. But I got to know my source quite well. Great, really nice man to talk to, was very patient with me because there's quite a few chunky bits to the story. And in a way, the story is less about the lost documents, but it's more about what happens when documents are lost and you're in a pressured family situation.
So, wow, yeah, so that sounds stressful.
Yeah.
Okay. But be revealed.
Yeah. 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 I'd be interested to hear what people think, actually, because I did say to my source, because it started when he came to first talk to me late last year, it was one story and then it turned into something else. I needed to pivot it really into a more of a public interest kind of story. But I'd like to know what people think, actually, you know, is because death and taxes, they're the two things. So it's to do with a will and a situation around a will.
So it's a government agency or a...
Yeah, kind of courts and all that kind of thing. Right. And, you know, what should you be looking out for if you're in that situation? And I did say to my source, really, we all need to be better organised because whether it's your own death or somebody else's, you are going to get caught up in some kind of administrative nightmare from which you would like to escape sooner rather than later intact.
Yes.
So my source was able to offer some good advice.
That's good, because wills are top of mind for me at the moment, yes.
Same, because I've really got to get onto that.
Oh, do you? That's it's terrible.
I know I've got to do it.
Yeah.
I almost wish there was a booth on the street where I could just say, one but will, please, and they go,
well, you can buy online templates that you do yourself.
Yeah, I don't want to do make it myself.
Okay.
I want to describe what I'd like to do with my $2.50 and my credit card bill, and I'd let them to turn it into the appropriate language. Actually, one top tip my source gave me for this story, which didn't make it into the story, was if you've got a will before 2019, written before 2019, just make sure that it's got the appropriate clause in there, which means that whoever your executor is, I think it was the executor, hang on, I've got my notes here somewhere, can charge to... can charge for their services. So if you've made a professional
your executor,
then you need a clause in there which means that they can charge for their services. Otherwise, you might end up finding that your executor declines to do the work.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, okay.
So there was a law change in 2019 which meant that you kind of had to deliberately opt in to that clause.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I thought it would have automatically come out of the state, the costs.
No, executrix. Yeah. Oh, lovely. I think people are making free with that provision.
Right. So now that's good to know.
Yeah, very good, eh? It didn't make it into my story, unfortunately.
Oh, but that's good to know.
Yeah, I think so. There'll be other death and will-related stories this year, I'm sure.
Anything else hot on halfway on the press?
Well, actually, so this is a call out.
Okay.
This is a call out for people who are currently waiting for a hip or knee replacement or any sort of orthopedic surgery.
Okay.
We want to speak to you. We're on a bit of a mission. We've done a lot of stories so far about the current state of our orthopaedic surgery, or orthopaedic ward here, and kind of things are coming to a bit of a head, I think, with the amount of stories that we're hearing, both from within the hospital, anonymous sources, but also people who've gone on the record who are waiting for hip surgery or knee surgery. And so we would really like to hear from you. Even if you've gone out and paid privately or you've had a positive experience, we want to hear from you because we're just trying to almost with the start of the year put a line in the sand and say in January 2025, this is the current state of play. And we are hoping that in some way we might be able to shift the dial because things are not great. Mm. Also, and it, you know, Oh, sorry, it's my new Apple Watch. Mm-hmm. Oh, it's a text message from my daughter. So, you know, here we have problems with orthopaedics. Manawatu, apparently colonoscopy procedures are no longer being done there.
I saw that on the news. Yep. Some really sad stories there.
Yes. Whakatane, no longer doing obstetrics.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, you know, there are different... So it doesn't matter whether we're talking about orthopaedics here. The issue remains that there is a systemic issue going on with our health system currently. And I think people are getting a little bit tired of the lack of transparency from some of those people who could possibly make stuff happen.
Good. So
we're on it.
You want to speak to anyone who's on a waiting list or has been put off a waiting list or anything to do with orthopaedic surgery?
That's right.
And how can they get hold of you if they want to?
They can get hold of me. Email Lucy, so that's Lucy.Cooper, C-O-O-P-E-R, @stuff.co.nz.
Great.
Yes. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you. We're really trying to build up a really solid picture of what's going on. We think we understand, but there's no such thing as too much information.
Yes. I think you're going to go to the end with this one. I think you're going to take it to the end of the earth.
I feel...
I'm working my way towards the
segue. Oh, you're doing a segue. I thought so. I can tell by your eyebrows.
We're going to take a musical break while Lucy recovers herself.
And then we've got to hear from you because you've got stuff on your mind.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
It's on everyone's mind, I hope. Okay. So let's hear from Lord Huron. This is called Ends of the Earth from the album Lonesome Dove that came out in 2021. It's a cracker, so let's take a listen.
Oh, there's a river that winds on to river. I'm gonna see where it leads. Oh, there's a mountain that no man has mounted. I'm gonna stand on the peak. Out there's a land that time don't command. Wanna be the first to arrive. No time for pondering why I'm wandering on while we both survive. To the ends of the earth, would you follow me? There's a world that was meant for us to see. To the ends of the earth, would you follow me? If the world ever saved my we
good is living the life you've been given if all you do is stand in place? I'm on a river that winds on forever. Follow till I get where I'm going. Maybe I'm heading to die, but I'm still gonna try. I guess I'm going alone.
Nice.
Oh, beautiful. Absolutely beautiful.
Hey, we were just looking in the studio when the mics are off. There's this great picture of, what street is this?
Church.
Church Street. I think so. Where the Arrow FM beautiful studios are. And I could see my little car parked in the car park. And I was thinking, wouldn't it be funny if we came along and we could see my car being ticketed because I parked incorrectly, like last time. But I've learned my lesson. I actually parked backwards, you know?
Yeah.
I parked on the wrong side of the road.
But do you know, totally ever since you did that,
yeah,
I've had a couple of instances where people have asked me, do you know if it's illegal? I go, yes, it is. Yeah. So just park facing the right way.
Yeah. And it's not illegal to drive in bare feet in New Zealand.
Well, that's a relief.
But it is in Brazil.
And England.
Yes.
Yes.
And I probably Ireland, which is why my husband goes on at me all the time.
Oh, does
But it's
he?
Not.
Right.
It's a total natural state of affairs. I think if they made that legal in New Zealand, there'd be a lot of uproar.
Cameras
like the 300,000 plus people who are currently uproaring about the Treaty Principles Bill.
Yes.
Which has been on
them.
My mind.
Yep.
So just want to do our civic duty and let people know, if you haven't known already, that the deadline to make a submission has been extended to 1 p.m. Tuesday, the 14th of January, which
good.
Is next week.
This is good news.
And they've sorted out their problems, hopefully, with the online submission web platform.
Yes.
So that it will not be overloaded by all the beautiful people who are writing in to oppose.
I think
or
it
otherwise.
Was a case of Parliament being surprised by democracy.
Yeah, because I think it's surpassed the record of submissions, which was about 107,000 for the last bill about the conversion therapy.
Oh,
Bill?
Gosh.
So it was some years ago, and that
yes.
was 107,000 roughly or so
wow.
submitted. So this is 300 and probably 81,000 and counting, because that doesn't count the physical mail submissions, which will come in.
That
yeah.
is, like, statistically a
amazing.
Significant proportion of the population, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. So if you haven't made it already, or you'd like to, or you'd like to participate in the democratic process, it's really easy, and there's tons of agencies who have templates that you can use.
Yeah.
I use myself the Amnesty International one, because it is about human rights.
Okay.
So they've got a really great template. But basically all you have to say, it's as simple as, I oppose this bill, and then they ask for your recommendations, and you can say, I recommend that it doesn't get supported, and that the current government honour the treaty.
Yeah, totally.
Simple as that.
That's
but
right.
No swearing, no racism and stuff, because then anything that you submit will be discounted.
Yes.
So,
yes.
Yeah.
If you're not quite sure what to say, keep it very, very simple.
Very simple. Yeah. But basically, if you oppose, then your voice will be counted if you do just that. And then there's a couple of other bills which they're trying
sure
to sneak
is.
Through at a time when most New Zealanders are on holiday or enjoying a break and, basically probably not super focused on looking at semi-boring bills. I mean, the Treaty Principles Bill's got quite a lot of traction because, you know, we've had the hikoi, we've had a lot of protests and a lot of people talking about it. But there is another bill that kind of sits alongside it, which doesn't sound as exciting, but is kind of under the radar of things that could really make things unpleasant for a lot of people in New Zealand.
What's that one?
I'm just trying to remember it. There's tons. There's actually four that you could make submissions on. Yeah, it's the Regulatory Standards Bill.
The what one?
Regulatory Standards Bill.
Okay.
So it's basically the twin bill to the Treaty Principles.
Oh.
So you can basically use the same template that you use if you're submitting for the Treaty Principles Bill.
And what does that one do?
It's very regressive and dangerous, and I'd suggest Emily Wright's or the Te Tiriti website can show you in depth, because it's quite a long bill, but it's basically been trying to be passed for some years by ACT.
Okay.
And it's, it's kind of flying under the radar, but would give a lot of power to the Minister for Regulation, who would be David Seymour.
Yes.
And it's been rejected 3 times already because of at risk of having, you know, detrimental effects on New Zealand society. So they're trying to get it through again. So,
okay.
Yeah, have a look. You can go to emilywrights.co.nz, or you could look at any, just Google regulatory standards.
Okay. Can I ask a question?
Regulatory Standards Bill, and that needs to be done by the 13th of January, so not too
damn,
long
that's
for that
Monday.
One. Yeah.
I was thinking, is there opportunity for a story, but that feels like that's past.
Yeah, maybe. It's basically standing up against, it's giving a lot more power to corporates in New Zealand and a lot less rights for the environment. It's taking away rights for land. It's a lot of stuff that could be bad news for... Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. But it's boring and it's long and it's not, you know, it's kind of, but also needs a voice.
It does.
Yeah. There's a couple of others as well. I haven't submitted them myself.
I've got one for you as well, if you don't mention it.
But it is the Social Security Amendment Bill.
Okay. What does that one do?
That's basically people who might be in a life-limiting situation, they've been diagnosed or they're terminal, or they've lost their partner, or you've lost your job, or you're basically struggling and you need to be on support because of a disability or life circumstances. This is basically trying to bring in punitive sanctions on people. You've been made to volunteer and do things that you might not necessarily be able to do because it costs money to travel to a place where you're volunteering. You have to apply. They make you jump through different hoops to apply. You kind of micromanaged about how you manage your own money that you are getting from a benefit.
When's the drop-dead date for that?
Drop-dead date. that is, again, there's plenty of links on type templates that you can submit for that. So that's the Social Security Amendment Bill, and that is, let me see, again, 10th of January. So a lot of these are trying to be through. And then there's the one about boot camps for youth. So that's the Oranga Tamariki brackets responding to serious youth offending amendment bill.
Oh my God.
And when- actually, it's too late. 9th of January, that was. What's today? It's the 10th. Yeah. So, I went to the Amnesty International. There's, just Google it, there's tons of agencies in New Zealand who are working with people in those affected communities who have got templates and ways to, really simple ways to submit.
Great. I've got one for you.
Yeah.
And I'm currently in the process of writing a story. So it's the Gene Technology Bill.
Oh, yeah.
So currently genetic modification and genetic engineering is governed by the HASNO Act, Hazardous Substances and Organisms Act, and it's fairly restrictive, and the government are wanting to loosen the regulations around this. So this afternoon I am hoping to talk to – it's highly modelled on the Australian Gene Technology Act, which was passed in 2000 and was it was amended in 2005. Not quite sure what the amendments were, but I'm talking to one of the critics of that Australian Act to find out today whether our proposed act has any redeeming features in it that makes it different from the problems that were discovered with the Australian version? Because if you were to read the policy document that sits behind the bill, the gene technology bill, you know, the government would have you believe everything's fine. We're all going to be fine. Don't worry. But it's very interesting. Even little small things like the... So the purpose of the Act is to enable genetic technology, gene editing technology. But bearing in mind the health and safety of people and the environment. But when you look at the definition of the environment, it is very, very narrow. So even little things like that, you know, if we don't cast our eye, like every word matters in these acts. They might look like a lot of words, but every word matters. So, yeah, I'm looking forward to having a good chat about that. So there will, we've already written, my colleague Kate Judson wrote an article in August last year about this particular bill. I'm hoping to take the story forward just a little bit more by just raising awareness around what some of the key issues are with it. Yeah.
Kudos to you and kudos to anyone who unravels and unwraps. I mean, it's very overwhelming.
I
know the government tries to make it simple for people to participate in this process, but there's a lot of stuff to read. So I just really, if you want to have your say, totally strongly recommend just even like Googling the name of the bill and template plus submission.
Yes.
That'll take you straight to a website which has something already written for you and you can modify or edit or copy it.
Yeah.
And then it's just a straight cut and paste and submit onto the thing.
Yeah.
But it's so important, eh, to have
it
people
is.
To, because it's have people to interpret things like this.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because they're hardcore documents, eh? I mean, they're not muck around.
And once they're in, they're in.
Yeah.
You know, a review of an act very rarely happens within the first 10 years of an act being around, unless there's special provision for an earlier review. And so, you know, and if you're feeling unnerved by a particular piece of proposed legislation, trust your gut. You know, there will be something in there that will need looking at. And oftentimes, ministers or whoever's on those committees from the parliamentary side of things, you know, they're being led by public submissions. You know, they are informed by them.
So it's like it's not like it goes somewhere and doesn't get looked at.
That's right.
Feel sort of confident. And I mean, New Zealand's ranked quite highly on the transparency and trustworthiness scale. I don't even know what it's called, but you know what I mean?
Yeah, totally.
Like,
yeah.
Corruption scale, international corruption scale.
Yeah.
So you feel like it will go and it will be seen will be heard.
Yes.
As long as you don't, you know, say things overtly racist, because all those types of submissions will be discounted.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
And, you know, you're absolutely right when you say, you know, we have a good, solid democracy here. Let's use it. Mm-hmm. Let's exercise it. Let's keep those joints of the machine well oiled.
You can talk to your MP, or you can talk to your other MP, because we've got two in the Wairarapa.
Yes, we do. Yeah.
Yep.
And there's Celia Wade Brown as well. So she's
exactly. We've got three.
Yeah, so we're very lucky.
Very lucky.
We're rich in politicians.
So if you don't feel comfortable making a formal submission, you can write your feelings to your MPs and they are obliged to represent your feelings, whatever they are.
Look at us doing a bit of PSA.
Oh, that's good, because, you know, I was really like, when I read about it, I was like, wow, this needs to be, because I'd really only heard about the treaty.
Yeah, the
bill.
Regulatory
But
bill.
There's quite a few going prone to be slammed through at this time of the year.
Yeah.
That need our attention.
Yeah, they certainly do. Good on you, Katie. Well done. Nice work.
Yeah, I did mine at like probably like 12:45 on the night that it was supposed to shut.
Oh yes.
And actually, I got in fine. There wasn't any, but I had heard that the website was crashing because so many people were trying to submit.
Good.
Which is awesome.
Oh, it's so awesome.
What, should we have more music or what time do we have to leave?
Oh, I just hit my knee. we've got like 10 minutes.
Oh, great.
Yeah, I think 57 we have to be out of here by.
Oh, lovely.
Yeah, yeah. Because there is a show directly after us.
There is, that's right. And how was, what did you see? Did you visit the treaty grounds?
Yeah, far out, did we?
Yeah.
Bloody hell.
So you went to the Bay of Islands for your holiday?
Yes, Paihia. Totally recommend it. It was, honestly, we sometimes wonder why people weren't all speaking French or Spanish because we just felt so abroad. We felt really abroad. Weather was glorious. Campground, Paihia top 10.
Amazing.
Totally recommend.
Yeah.
So cool. We went out kayaking. We did walking. We went swimming.
Yeah.
We went to the treaty grounds. What a fabulous place. I've got to say, the whole vibe there is just so groovy.
Yeah.
And the quality of the exhibitions there are just so good.
Yeah.
So probably one of the best museums I've ever been to.
Is there anything contemporary about what's happening at the moment with...
That is a very good point.
Did you see anything?
I didn't see anything. Oh, hang on a minute. No, as you come out of the... I tell you what, I mean, it's quite dense as well in terms of the amount of information. So by the time we were coming out, I did notice they had done this really clever thing where you had one side of the wall was full of vox pops and people's photographs for the treaty and the other side... against.
Oh.
We're really brave, I thought.
Yeah.
This kind of, you know, just kind of capturing people's thoughts, contemporary thoughts about the treaty. And I think what's really clever about it, genius really, you've just gone through this very balanced, even-handed delivery of history.
Wow.
And about and you see the treaty. Oh my, so good. I'm getting goosebumps actually. And then you kind of come out.
That's not the original one, though. It's a facsimile, isn't it? The originals and archives.
Oh, possibly. Because there were so many different types of versions.
Yeah, there were.
Well,
there were lots
all
of versions. Yeah.
There's this incredible, interactive thing where you can look up on this gorgeous screen any of them and tap on a signature, and it tells you who they are, what their name, what name they went by, what iwi or hapu they belonged to. Oh, my God, so cool.
That's cool.
So you've done all that. I'd say that any right-minded person kind of comes out there and thinks, I think the treaty was a pretty cool thing and we should really honour it. And then you're given these two, you know, this kind of opposing views, where by which time you're able to look at these things and kind of go, on a minute, you know.
Yeah,
very clever, very clever. And then there's this wonderful What Price Citizenship, which is about all like the fight for citizenship in their own country for Māori soldiers. Just blows your mind. Some gorgeous artwork in there and very dense, again, very moving. And then the house is there, Busby's house.
Mm-hmm. Did you go to Russell?
Did we popped over there, me and Isla?
Yeah,
had a very nice pizza at Honne's garden. Mm. This tiny little tucked away pizza garden. Oh my God, so cool! A bit blustery on the day. I went for a nice walk. Isla just hung out on the beach and ate an ice cream. But and then again, after so many things have been happening, I've been doing a lot of reading, listening to the rest of history, and then going to the treaty grounds. So I was able to look at this whole region of New Zealand with completely new eyes.
Mm.
It's so. So, such a treat, you know, to be able to stand here today as a modern person and think, wow, the struggle. And the struggle continues. And out of that struggle, we forge real gold and richness, is all I can think. And at the one point, so my daughter, 15, she said, do you think David Seymour's been through here? I don't know. If he did, he might have had his blinkers on because... Like,
wow,
what? We've got so much work to do with what we already have.
Yeah.
Mm.
Wow.
But yeah, I loved it. Loved
nice
it.
Nice spot.
Oh.
Is there still, because I went there when I was probably 8 or 9, and because we had a cousin who lived in Paihia, and we went on a boat tour through the Hole in the Rock.
Yes, did that.
Yeah. But I really remember this really big old shipwreck that was kind of moored somewhere and you could go on and look inside, a bit like the one that's in Picton. Was there a shipwreck?
Yeah, there is a ship called Shippies or something.
Oh,
and it looked a bit wrecked.
Yeah, yeah, totally wrecked.
And it was just before the bridge
into
the treaty
ground. Oh, great, it's still there.
Yeah, yeah, it's still there. Like the front's come off.
42 years later.
In a kind of John Clark kind of way.
Great, great.
Yeah, that's still there.
That makes me feel happy.
Yeah. Oh, right. And also the food offerings in Paihia, I thought were excellent.
Yeah.
Yeah, something for everyone. There's a great holy moly guacamole.
Oh.
Loved it. So much fun. We had to wait a long time for our dinner. Oh, we went all the way up to Cape Reinga as well.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Like, just
to see the joining of the awa.
Of the, yeah.
Yeah.
Very, Isla was very moved.
Yeah.
She spent a lot of time just kind of looking out to sea and feeling moved.
It's pretty amazing.
It was pretty cool. Yeah. Yeah.
Man. Good holiday.
Yeah, very good. Very right. good.
Let's go out with a song by Emma Pucky called Don't Give Up.
Okay, yeah, Don't Give Up.
Yeah, and I think this will take us to saying bye-byes. So
yeah, we'll come back and say goodbye.
Okay.
Yeah, yeah.
All right.
Cool.
It's Emma Pucky with Don't Give Up.
I recognise that tune.
Yes, you do. It's time for us to say goodbye to all our family.
Yes.
Recuperate is the best. M-O-U-S-E. Listen, have a beautiful day out there, and we will see you in 2 weeks' time.
Yes.
Friday, 12 o'clock.
Yes.
For Recuperate on Arrow FM 92.7.
Beautiful. You're so professional.
We say goodbye to you. Goodbye, Lucy.
Goodbye to you, Katie.
Okay. Ta-ra.
Ta-ra.